on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
And it is the 2nd of December, it's a Monday, and also very early in Advent. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we're grateful as we begin the Advent season for a time of reflection on not just your coming at Bethlehem, the Christmas feast, but also your great second coming in glory. So help us to reflect carefully as we make our journey, realizing that we must be prepared for at an hour you do not expect. We do not expect you may come. So keep us faithful, keep us ready, and keep us holy by your grace through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Arise, Lord, save me, my God, you who strike all my foes on the cheek, you who break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people.
You know, Deacon, when I heard this psalm, I was like, ouch. Not so much from the strike on the cheek, but from the Lord breaking the teeth of the wicked. Yeah. Yo, you can't come back from that. He's like, there are no dentures for you, okay? I'm going to break your teeth. You know how painful that is? I mean, really. So we do not want to be wicked people, all right? Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Yes, bless us, Lord, as we start this this Monday in the first week of Advent. Boy, where's the time gone? And we remember the Lord can save us. That's a good psalm. And it also reminds me of the power of the Lord. He breaks the teeth of the wicked. Yikes. That's a painful one. But we're going to have a great show this morning. We're going to be talking about, you know, you ever make a blunder and you're like, oh, why did I do that? But then it turns out pretty good. Well, we're going to talk about two such stories. One of a news reporter that sends out an email that he does not mean to send out. And another from a grandmother that texts someone that she did not mean to text. And they both have happy endings. So we'd love to hear about your little silly mistakes or blunders that actually turned out all right.
Yeah. We'll also talk about an Advent hymn that you never knew was an Advent hymn. And maybe you can think about what is your favorite Advent hymn. But with that in mind, I want to talk about an unusual Advent hymn that starts out Day of Wrath and Doom Impending.
So, all right.
And we're also going to talk about the how do you speak to your children about difficult issues. It's about Colorado. Parents were upset with a high school teacher who assigned sexually explicit material to their students without the parents' consent. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, boy. That's, you know, And, of course, you could join the conversation. You could find us on Facebook. Look for EWTN on Facebook and make sure you comment. You know, I know we all were probably dealing with leftovers from Thanksgiving over the weekend. So I don't know if y'all realize you're supposed some things you can freeze and other things you have to eat right away. So I don't know if you spent your weekend, but I'll tell you, we spent our weekend eating turkey and stuffing and most of the vegetable sides because those things actually have to be eaten within 3 to 4 days after Thanksgiving. So if you haven't done it yet, all these things that I'm listing, turkey, stuffing, and all your vegetable sides, you pretty much need to finish those off today. Well, maybe the vegetable sides can wait until Tuesday. You kind of pretty much need to finish them off today. And then pies, you can freeze them and stuff, but if you haven't already frozen them, it's probably best to use the last few slices. And guess what you can do with them? You can make pie milkshakes. You ever done that? I mean, it's kind of yummy. It's kind of ridiculous. You could just mix them in with ice cream, too, and just put them in there and mix them all up. That, like, I don't know what you guys did, but that's what we were doing. We were eating and trying to figure out what we needed to freeze. And I'll come back to that some more, but I want to find out what you guys were up to over the weekend.
Yeah, I had a quiet weekend, but amazing. I got together with some old high school friends on the evening, Saturday evening, but mainly got the church ready for Advent, got myself ready for Advent, switching gears and getting the church decorated for Advent. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my girls was unable to come home for Thanksgiving, so I went down and saw her, spent the weekend with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had a one, she's funny, so I get there and at her school, and she has this agenda. Look, we got the whole weekend planned out. You know what we're gonna do. It's very interesting. You know, when your kids become adults and you're having like these adult conversations, relationships with them, it really is something.
Yeah, she so I was just there to get the daddy do list.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it was fun. I mean, it was all fun. It was all fun things that we did together. And we had We had some very significant conversations too. It was a very, very good weekend. And I was in San Francisco, so I got stuck in some of that crazy in the news links about the delayed flights. I got significantly delayed, but that's okay. I made it home. Thanks be to God. And
You're with us this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. Well, I think some of y'all, we were talking about Thanksgiving stuff. I think it was Father DeRosa says he likes that cranberry sauce that's on the, you know, from the can, so you know where to cut. I don't know if he actually admitted that on air if he was not. But anyway, that's one of the things you can freeze is actually cranberry sauce. They say it lasts a long time in the refrigerator. It's about 10 to 14 days. And you can also freeze it for up to 2 months. You can also, believe it or not, you can freeze your mashed potatoes. You can, as long as you get it in the freezer by tomorrow, you can, you know, you're good, because it only keeps for about 5 days in the refrigerator. So you got to freeze it by Tuesday, by tomorrow. But then the thing you have to throw out pretty much is turkey gravy, because that only lasts for 1 to 2 days. Obviously, salad, you know, any salads or slaws are definitely soggy by now. So you got to toss those. And the turkey carcass. If you put it in the right away in the refrigerator and intended to make homemade stock, but you haven't done it yet, it's probably safer at this point to, that you throw it out. Just telling you, just keeping y'all safe, keeping you safe. But talk about a surprising thing in the news from Bishop Serba. I feel like the readings from Sunday about the Lord coming when we don't know when really sort of came true. 59 years old, so young.
59 and... You know, just to see his picture and all, he doesn't, you know, look like someone who would suffer a cardiac arrest. He looks healthy, thin, you know, well, we just never know. And so to the people of Duluth, he's been bishop there for like 10 years. It's not like he was, you know, recently appointed. So it's just going to be a big change for them. And
He's been a priest since he was 25. It looks like his the anniversary of his 10th ordination was going to be just, what, 10 to 13 days away. So we'll be keeping Bishop Serba in our prayers. May his soul rest in peace.
If I ever have to go, I want to go getting ready for Mass or at Mass. Just find me in the chapel, maybe. You know, I mean, Archbishop Fulton Sheen was found dead in his chapel. You know, you know, these are the things where I think, you know, thanks be to God, he was found, you know, at work in the Lord's vineyard. So Bishop Serba, may you rest in peace.
Yeah, I knew a priest that he was an elderly priest shut in, and a young priest was in his room celebrating Mass for him. And he died right after, I guess, when they elevate the, when at that point, that's when he passed during the Mass. And I asked the priest, what'd you do? He said, well, I continued saying Mass in there. And then I was like, wow. So, yeah, what a time, huh? So speaking of passing.
It's real sobering, you know, that he woke up that morning. Just thinking today's going to be just like any other day. Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear stories like this, just really reminds me what this season is about, you know, and the coming of the Lord. But it's always the first readings, no matter what cycle, A, B, or C, that first Sunday of Advent's always about kind of anticipating the end. You know, not the coming of Christ at Christmas, but at the end of our life. So just
that's right. Well, speaking of dealing with the end and death, I understand a Swedish company is doing something kind of ridiculous in Kansas.
Yeah, you know, we talked about some of this in detail with cremation last week, but there's a Swedish company called Promessa that wants to reduce the carbon footprint when it comes to burials, and they're going to try this out in Kansas because of their relatively lax cremation laws. So according to this procedure, it's called Promession. This is the company's name Promessa, so this is, I guess, their brand.
Their way of dealing with
this,
the body.
And so instead of cremation, which is the body's broken down by fire, this consists of freezing the body with liquid nitrogen and then vibrating it into particles. So they said it's going to be cost-effective and eco-friendly.
That just seems like some science fiction mess. I'm sorry. You know, you're going to freeze it and then shake it to pieces. I mean, really?
Well, the other thing, too, just in terms of this, all this eco talk that people, you know, I don't know if people understand, but keeping something at that temperature cold also requires a lot of energy. You don't just have liquid nitrogen just out of the blue. I mean, it also takes, you know, so I don't know, carbon, Carbon. You can kick carbon down the road a little bit, you know. So, for example, I'm driving an electric car, but it's plugged into the electric power plant run by a coal. You know, I mean, at some point, you know, you have to accept the fact that these things are, you know, there's going to be some cost along the way in,
right.
In terms of that. But I would also say that I think all of us struggle with, I think, cremation in that it does something terrible to the body. Whether you burn it or freeze it, it is something which we have to adjust our minds to. The church permits cremation, but also still prefers traditional burial out of respect for the body. It's more respectful. In fact, it says that in the document. And I know that people will argue, but it is something that is permitted. So we'll leave it at that. It's
permitted. Mm. Well, speaking of respectful, I've heard this story. This is unbelievable. Amazon, you know, the big online retailer, believe it or not, I almost can't believe I have to share this. The Auschwitz Memorial, you know, in Poland, Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp where so many people lost their lives under Nazi regime on purpose. They were killed. Well, for some reason, Amazon was carrying some products, Christmas ornaments and bottle openers with the image of Auschwitz. I mean, talk about disrespectful. So the Auschwitz Memorial basically tweeted, selling Christmas ornaments with images of Auschwitz does not seem appropriate. Auschwitz on a bottle opener is rather disturbing and disrespectful. We ask Amazon to remove the items of those suppliers. I tell you what, that's just, Amazon should know better. And look, I've got an alternative, y'all, from a place that you can buy something. I assure you there will be nothing ridiculous like images of Auschwitz on Christmas ornaments or bottle ornaments. Where is that? EWTNRC.com. Besides, you get free shipping today only on all web and phone orders. And it directly supports EWTN and Mother Angelica's mission. And you can go to EWTNRC.com and shop and buy Catholic things for the season. You will not get in any trouble, I promise. They don't have anything tasteless.
Who at Amazon thought that was a good idea?
I don't think anybody thought when they okayed that going on the website. But let me close out with this happy story. There's a Texas couple, Texas sweethearts. They've been together for 80 years. Okay, 80 years. So the man, his name is John Henderson, wanted a car in 1934. So he shelled out $26 for a used green Dodge Roadster, hoping the wheels would bring new adventures and impress his fellow University of Texas classmate, Charlotte Curtis. Well, it turned out it was the best $26 he ever spent, John Henderson says, who's now 106 years old. He dated Charlotte all during the time he had that car. And now nearly 80 years of marriage later, Charlotte is 105 and she's still by John's side. In August, the Hendersons were named the oldest married couple on earth with an aggregate age of 211 years. What a wonderful story. Well, stay tuned with us as we discuss blunders, silly mistakes that ended up going just right. And we'd love to hear from you. Did you ever do something you're like, oh no, why'd that happen? And it works out just for good. And you can find us on Twitter at EWTN Radio.
Listen to us on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, ask EWTN to play Morning Glory. Morning Glory, it's Catholic from coast to coast. Text us. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Then text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
And you are listening to Morning Glory in this first week of Advent as we're preparing for the coming of the Lord at Christmas, and hope you already started your shopping. I haven't. I always wait to the last minute, but that's just me. I don't know if that's a guy thing or what, but I hate shopping. So I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, your co-host. I'm joined, as always, by Monsignor Charles Pope and the lovely Gloria Purvis. And Gloria could talk to us today about, sometimes you make a mistake and it turns out to be a pretty good thing.
Yeah. I thought this was so funny. I remember when this was trending on Twitter. So this Kansas City traffic reporter, Nick Vassos, was apparently not feeling good. He was under the weather. So he called out sick. And I guess he sent an email to, you know, usually you just send it to your direct supervisor. But somehow the email got sent out and crossed the entire employee network of this vast media group. So, you know, I'm sure he was like, ah, no. But what happened is his colleagues started actually doing things, I think, that were in the end quite sweet. So that you had newsrooms across the country replying to the email chain, wishing him well. People did little news spots saying, hey, Nick, we hope you feel better. And, you know, it was a chance for people to actually, I think they were being nice instead of being cruel and saying things like, oh, look at this moron. He sent a reply all email when he should have just sent, or, you know, whatever he did to send it out, he made this mistake. But it gave to me an opportunity for his colleagues and coworkers to do something that was actually kind of sweet and touching, instead of usually what sometimes you can see in social media is that people get roundly roasted and mocked and people are mean. But instead we see from his colleagues just nice responses, wishing that he would get better.
Mm-hmm. Goodness.
You know? You know,
I'm going to tell you, somehow that reminds me of the plot of that movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Remember that crazy movie?
The kid,
of course, he was faking being sick, but all the shenanigans that followed after that, even a parade in Chicago, you know.
You know, I never really saw that movie. I've only seen snippets of it. I'm so embarrassed because that's like a big cultural thing that people have seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I have to go see it. Yeah, but he was a big faker though, right? About being sick to be avoiding school. But you know, sometimes we have those embarrassing moments that actually turn out okay. And I bet our listeners have a few they could share. Or maybe, you know, somebody did something that was, but you helped, you know, you and your charity helped redeem the moment, so to speak. Yeah. Another one, and I'm sure, I don't know if you guys heard of this one, Wanda Dench and Jamal Hinton, they're unlikely friends, they'd say. So what happened is Wanda Dench texted her grandson to invite him to her 2016 Thanksgiving dinner. And the person replied, said, who is this? And she was like, it's your grandma. And he was like, send a picture. So she sent a picture of herself, and then he sent a picture of himself. He was like, you're not grandma, but can you save a plate for me? And guess what? She says, well, why don't you come on over? So he went to her house in 2016 for Thanksgiving, and they had dinner. And guess what? It's now become an annual tradition. They still have Thanksgiving together, even though she made a mistake and texted the wrong kid. She texted the wrong number. Yeah. And she's a grandmother of six based in Mesa, Arizona. And at the time of the first text, Hinton, the boy's name, was a 17-year-old, and he was in class at his Phoenix High School. And he said he was confused that someone claiming to be his grandmother texted him. So, you know, what a sweet thing.
Well, I know that one thing in my life that went terribly wrong, it wasn't so much humorous, but it ended up being a blessing, was when I was in college, I actually failed. I got an F in statistics.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, I'd never gotten an F in my life. But anyway, I just completely failed it. And then I had to retake the course. I got a tutor, and I got an A. And then the university hired me to be a tutor for statistics.
Wow. Oh, how about that? That's funny.
I earned money in college of being a statistics tutor after I failed it first time. You know, but you know, I just had to rally and, you know, do better.
You know, what a story, huh? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, if this guy failed it and then turned around and was able to pass, let's give him a job as a tutor in that very subject. I guess they also want you to keep getting better at statistics, because they say you can, once you teach something to somebody, you really got it.
Yeah. And I remember once I was doing a parish mission. I was leading adoration with benediction. I sat knelt in front of the altar with the altar server, and he hands me the incense, and I start slinging the incense, you know, and I was thinking maybe I was doing a little bit too Maronite, a little Easter, right? I swung it around, and some of the coal fell out and caught the carpet on fire. Mm. And I said to the altar server, what should we do? He said, put it out, you know? But what happened was the priest wanted to replace the carpet anyway. He was trying to find an excuse to do it. He goes, look, it's a fire hazard. See, it's a fire. We need to replace the carpet.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
Sure enough, they replaced the carpet.
All because of you. See, it all worked out.
I swung the incense a little too high.
You know, the gift in a strange package.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody.
It looked good though.
It probably looked real fly. You swinging that thing around. But you know, I saw something similar to that. I don't know if people remember when they had that big convocation down in Orlando several years ago with all the bishops in the U.S. and the diocese and whatnot. Well, one of the days they had a Eucharistic procession where they processed around outside and then they came into the big meeting room, the big, big hall where we were going to have, inside the hotel where we were going to have Mass. And I happened to be there because, you know, I was one of the MCs. Well, the young man was also slinging that stuff, Deacon, and it fell all over the floor. But the look on his face, he didn't ask anybody for help. He looked like he was just about to cry and go find his mama. It was just the most, I felt so bad for him. But here's one thing I witnessed. One of the priests, Father Joseph Anthony Crest, who's a Dominican down at UVA, immediately jumped in, you know, resolved the situation and really sort of consoled the young man. And it was one of the times I got to see a priest be what I could only call a real father figure to someone that was panicked, like thought he had just ruined everything. And he just sprang into action, took care of the situation and really consoled the young man that, you know, it was going to be okay and let's just keep it moving. So I felt like it was a hug from the Lord to see a priest really be fatherly. Look, we'd love for you to join the conversation. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Tell us your first name, how you're listening, and maybe how did a blunder that you either witnessed or that you made turn into something good for you? And we got all those little stories. I got one for you. My husband's going to die about it. Our very first date, it was a disaster. It was so bad. It was so, so bad.
What did he do wrong?
Well, first of all, I was looking beautiful in a nice dress and a skirt. And he showed up in some jeans and I was like, strike one is what I was thinking. And then just, he ate broccoli off my plate without really asking. And I was like, this is an uncouth person. I could have nothing to do with him. So Anyhow, just went down from there. So I called him the next day and basically let him know why I thought the date was a disaster, you know, and why I thought that was really inappropriate to snatch broccoli off my plate. By the way, the Lord has a sense of humor because our child's favorite vegetable is broccoli. So but, you know, it was from that conversation that I think he's like, I like this girl. She doesn't play around. You know where you're gonna. She says what's on her mind, and so you're not getting married. I was just a really direct person. I wanted to also just give him an opportunity so he didn't blow it with the next girl. Yeah, well, that next girl never got a chance.
maybe the theological point to make here, because you know sometimes serious things go wrong in our life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to always remember that, a basic theological principle about any suffering or setbacks or trials is that God only permits them to draw some greater good from them. And this is, so some of God's gifts come in strange packages, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
Well, it's how we respond when something goes wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You know, how we respond to it, too. I mean, I think we should always just, you know, embrace it and just deal with it maturely, right? And things could turn around.
Well, say you get pregnant, you didn't expect to have a baby or something like that. That's like, what a joyful surprise. Like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll have to, switch it. And then that child ends up becoming like, one of the most awesome people ever. That's how God works,
Isn't that what happened to Blessed Mother? She wasn't expecting to be pregnant. Celebrate the Advent now because of that unexpected, joyful pregnancy, right? It wasn't a blunder, but to the world's eyes, they might have thought it was a mistake. I had a girlfriend who, her mother was in her late 40s and had terrible stomach ache, went to the doctor, turned out she was pregnant. And that little girl that she gave birth to, when she was in her 20s, her mother fell very ill, and she was the only one of her children available to take care of her mom at that late time in her life. And so, you know, it's also sometimes I really believe God's plan works out in ways that we don't expect. And it includes sometimes those little blunders, those unexpected things, those little embarrassments. You know, sometimes it's he's got a plan, y'all, and we just need to hold on and trust.
Sometimes we have to be humble so God could be exalted.
Hey, you tell the truth there. Well, we've got, sometimes we have to be humble so he can be exalted. I like that, Deacon. I'll think of that the next time I make a big mistake. Anyway, what do we have coming up next on Morning Glory?
Talk about an Advent hymn you didn't know was an Advent hymn. You might be surprised what it's about. So when we return, we'll talk about that.
And we're also going to talk about how do you speak to your children about difficult issues where something was brought up at a school and didn't tell the parents about it. So we'll talk about that as well.
Join us around the breakfast table of faith. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
Lord, as we begin this Advent season, it's probably common for us to be busier than ever. But all the more reason, Lord, help us to be intentional then about finding some time to stop and reflect and realize what the season is really all about. And keep us faithful to prayer at a time when we might be tempted to dismiss it for other things. So we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I rejoice because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord, and now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's Psalm 122, which is called a gradual psalm or a song of ascents. This particular one is written by David, which makes perfect sense. It's like a pilgrimage psalm because these psalms 120 to 134 were psalms that were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths. And so we're ascending now. We're ascending up to, you know, up to the birth of Christ, you know, the coming of the incarnation, the light into the darkness. So a wonderful way to prepare, you know, it might be going on a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
So those are always great. Yeah, I got the two pilgrimages next year. If you're interested to come with me, you go to my website, deaconharold.com, and then you see the pilgrimage tab. And in fact, today's Cyber Monday, so we got a couple of discounts there if you sign up today.
All right.
Great opportunities to experience the deep love of the Lord.
And if you go to Mass today, that's a psalm from today's Mass. In a little bit, what else will we be talking about, Deacon?
We're talking about how do you speak to your children about difficult issues. There is a school that gave an assignment that had sexually explicit material that was not told to the parents, and so some parents got upset. So how do you talk about kids when they're confronted with these kind of difficult issues?
Yeah, really. They don't want to know what I said at school. They'd be the one for some difficult issues after that. Right?
Right.
Well, Monsignor, you were talking about some songs that we didn't know were Advent songs. So I'm really interested to hear about this.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, sometimes maybe our listeners can say, what are their favorite Advent song? Most people think of O Come Emmanuel and so on like that around Jordan's Banks. But this particular song was written for the first Sunday in Advent by Thomas of Celano. Back in the 13th century, and it got assigned also then to the Requiem Mass in the extraordinary form, and it's a sequence hymn for that. But it was originally written as a hymn for Advent, and let me just read the opening lines. I'm translating from the Latin. By the way, the Latin is in perfect meter for rap.
Okay.
Here's how the Latin sounds: Dies Irae, Dies Illa, Salvat Saeclum, Infa Vila, Teste David. Cum sibila.
All right. That's really
Paratic, wow. Paratic dimeter, right? Okay.
I like it. Whoa. The clap was really fly. Yeah. I like
you
that.
Throw a beat on there. You have a number one song there.
I know. We're going to have to work on that off air. I love it. Might have a new theme song for Morning Glory.
There you go. All right. But here's an English translation in a slightly different meter. But you were talking earlier, Deacon, about, you know, the first Sunday of Advent has these ominous, you know, gospels about the end times and our own end and so on. So yesterday's gospel was about, you know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man may come. So here's how it opens up, and I'm going to read a few verses, and We'll talk about the negative image in just a moment, because it's really a beautiful hymn ultimately about God's mercy. But starts out, day of wrath and doom impending, heaven and earth and ashes ending, David's words with the Sibyl's blending. Oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth, when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth. Such a wondrous sound the trumpet flingeth, through her sepulchres it ringeth, all before the throne it bringeth. Death is struck and nature quaking, all creation is awaking to its judge and answer making. And lo, the book exactly worded, wherein all hath been recorded, and then shall judgment be awarded. And when the judge his seat attaineth, and each hidden deed arraigneth, nothing unavenged remaineth. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, very biblical hymn, you know, from largely drawn from Zephaniah and Joel. You know, of the of this image of the last judgment and mm-hmm. the final judgment, and this is, of course, first and foremost, what Advent, at least as we begin Advent, is about. It's not so much about getting ready for Christmas, but about mm-hmm. the second coming of the Lord. Now, all those images may seem and sound rather ominous, but the later on the hymn we'll talk about this, but it develops a cause for pleading for God's mercy. But before we get there, I mean, just, you see the idea here. In fact, this is one of the reasons why some people wanted to get rid of it in the Requiem Mass.
Why?
It's too negative. It's too dark. And like anyone, you know, you read the first opening verse and you say, oh, yeah, ooh. But at the end of the day, it's a beautiful hymn for mercy. We'll look at that. But what are your thoughts about this imagery?
You know, with thy sheep a place provide me, worthless are my tears and sighing, guilty now I pour my moaning. I'm looking at all the different words and lyrics. Think, kind Jesus, my salvation, cause thy wondrous incarnation.
There you go.
Leave me not to reprobation. I mean, mm-hmm. that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're a little ahead of me, because I was going to look at those, you know. But nevertheless, I mean, just, you see, but you're already hinting at that when, you got to, if you don't know the bad news, the good news mm-hmm. is no news.
Right.
And so this idea that you know, that things could go very badly for us without God is the bad news. But the good news, we got the Lord.
Right.
When is this hymn typically sung? Like, and it's not sung during Mass. Like, when would you this hymn be even?
Well, in the old Requiem, it was sung right before the Gospel. It's a sequence hymn.
Right
before the Gospel. So, and it starts out. You might even heard the melody. Dies irae, dies illa. I got a cough, you know, but anyway. Mm-hmm. Salvet seclum in favilla, teste David cum sibilla. Anyway, when I do Requiem Masses in the older rite, it's certainly sung or recited there at those liturgies. So it's still in there for the extraordinary form Requiem Mass. But it was eliminated in the newer rite. Many thought it was too dark, and it is long. It is long. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But yeah.
O come, Emmanuel is long. I was singing that last night for evening prayer, and I was like, I'm going to be in here singing a while. It's a long song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's got that double meaning, though. Even this Dies Irae or O come, Emmanuel, because you can think, okay, Christ is coming. You know, right. Like at Christmas, or Christ is coming, you know, mm-hmm. at the, and, you know, we worry so much about the end of the world, but we need to worry about the end of our world.
Yeah, right.
You know, and these songs remind us of that, you know. So, they're kind of, well, not dark. I mean, like, mm-hmm. like I said, it's a perfect time here because it's dark. I'm looking out the window now. It's pitch black outside.
Yeah, right.
You know, and again, it's that reminder that, you know, mm-hmm. death is going to come. It's going to come to everybody. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be prepared? You know, and these songs, I think, just remind us of that, you know, there's that reality.
Now here, Gloria's already sort of set the stage for this. We have here we have this rather, you know, frightening image that you know, of a judgment that looms on us and on the whole world. And then we now turn our face to the Lord, and the song sets a case for God's mercy. So it says, what shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding when the just are mercy needing? Oh, King of majesty tremendous, who does free salvation send us? Font of pity, then befriend us. Oh, think, kind Jesus, my salvation, cause your wondrous incarnation. Leave me not to reprobation, for faint and weary thou hast sought me. On the cross of suffering bought me. Shall such grace be vainly bought me? And goes on to say again, spare through the sinful Mary shriven, through the dying thief forgiven, thou to me a hope has given.
Amen.
So, yeah. Wow. So it turns to that beautiful
theme. That's so beautiful.
And then comes this one line. A lot of people do know this line from the Dies Irae. Pie Jesu Domine. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, grant them eternal rest. Mm. So there's this Pie Jesu Domine. You know, the beautiful Pie Jesu that is often sung. It's a beautiful plea. And that's just what a lovely title. Pie Jesu, oh, sweet Jesus.
You know, when you talk about that, it reminds me at evening prayer last night, one thing that struck me as we asked God last night, you know, one of the concluding prayers in the office for the evening prayer, I'm talking about the Liturgy of the Hours, is all-powerful God, increase our strength of will for doing good, that Christ may find an eager welcome at his coming, so that, you know, we'd have that eagerness, that joyfulness that having him come, not this fear at the judgment day that will be coming. But we also have to ask him to increase our strength of will, our will for doing good. It's one thing to avoid evil, right? We're supposed to do that, but we're also really supposed to be doing good so that we can be joyful and welcoming when he comes instead of cowering and running and asking the mountains to fall on us. You know, I think about that when you're talking about, and also to remind us, he's giving us that help. He wants to help us. All the things that he's done for us, his incarnation, his passion, all these things for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'd love to hear what our listeners feel about this as well. It's this awesome topic.
Yeah.
Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. It takes your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. You know, how do we prepare, you know, these beautiful hymns that we have during Advent here are preparing us for the coming of the Lord at Christmas and also at the end of our life. And maybe you have a hymn or something that you listen to during this time of year. Maybe there's something that you're reading that stirs your heart as you prepare for the coming of the Lord in your own life. Love to hear from you.
I do wonder if people have favorite Advent hymns. I have to say I'm a big... Mm-hmm. I love O Come Emmanuel. And, you know, frankly, I have to think about it. It's the only one I know. I do like sometimes when we get towards right before Christmas, when they start doing the O Antiphons, chanting the O Antiphons, I think are nice. But I need a refresher.
That is what O Come Emmanuel is. It is the O Antiphons. Yeah.
Right, but I like when they break them up, right, day by day. And I think that's, I guess I'm consistent too, but maybe there's some other Advent hymns that I'm missing that people really enjoy or make them stop and think about the season. Maybe they could share that with us, you know?
I've got one I'm going to share on Wednesday on the show that is also not widely known, but oh, what a beautiful set of text. One of my favorite ones is, wake, awake, the night is dying. It's the beautiful one written by Bach, and it's just magnificent. I'd love to play it on the organ. It's got wonderful footwork in the pedal, and just, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn.
You know, I've been learning about more hymns from praying the office. Like, I didn't realize, what is it? Lift up your heads, you mighty gates, behold the King of Glory waits. So that's an Advent song. I was like, all right. So nice ones. Good lot. Got a lot of good stuff. What do we have coming up next, Deacon?
Well, we're going to talk about how do you speak to your children about difficult issues. There's a school in Colorado that had some material that was inappropriate and some parents got upset. And so we'll take a look at that. How do you talk to your kids about these kind of issues?
Always, good topic to discuss. Talking about difficult stuff. Yeah.
School, work, or play. Take us along for the ride. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. Email us. morningglory@ewtn.com. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Well, you're listening to Morning Glory on this Monday during the first week of Advent. I'm Gloria Purvis, and I'm joined by the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers and the wonderful rapping Monsignor Charles Pope. He's the pastor of Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Church right here in Washington, D.C. And I hope you heard that segment where Monsignor broke it down for us about Advent songs. I really love that rap you did, Monsignor. That was pretty cool. I swear we're going to have to put down some beats behind that and make that into a little song or something.
One time I'll recite for you the Jesus rap, but we'll do that in another time.
All right. I'm waiting. Well, you know, as we're talking about, you know, things being discussed and the difficulty in talking about things, you know, Deacon, this next topic that you want to bring up really is sobering. You know, I have an 8-year-old, so I'm really going to be looking forward to what listeners have to say. And, you know, as we unfold this topic.
Well, you know, I mentioned that I spent the weekend with my daughter at college because she wasn't able to come home for Thanksgiving. And, you know, we had some very very frank and open discussions about faith and other things. And, you know, and she's an adult now, you know, but this is a story about in Colorado. It's a high school that's kind of under fire for assigning sexually explicit material that contained vulgar language. And certain passages about sexting with minors.
What?
Yeah, without parental consent. And this is something we're seeing more and more and more of in these public schools, where they're just assigning material without the parents' even knowledge or consent. So the father of the 16-year-old student at this high school in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, was shocked when his daughter came home and told him about this sexually charged graphic assignment that and of all classes, music literature, literature. And so the lesson was crafted around a poem called Howl by Allen Ginsberg. And the teacher ended up writing a letter apologizing, said it was the most offensive material covered in the class, but still didn't get the parents' consent. And they were using just very, very vulgar and lewd language in that. And you know, here are parents trying to teach their kids about values and morals and things like this. And here's a school kind of undercutting that. Again, assigning things that are controversial without first at least giving a heads up or a warning to the parents at all. In fact, the dad said, he said, in the age of this Me Too and Harvey Weinstein and all this stuff going on, it's hard for me to understand why the superintendent would think that requiring teenage girls to meditate on a song normalizing sexting would be acceptable. Right. You know, if they're going to sign this kind of stuff, let the parents know ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd be looking. I'd be giving that teacher the side eye. I'm sorry. I'm like, what is homeboy grooming? I'm just saying. I'd be giving them the side eye. That's very hinky. Mm-mm.
But we see all this kind of stuff going on. Now, I'd love to hear what parents, you know, would do in this situation. I mean, have you had this situation come up yourself? You know, with your own kids. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for EWTN on Facebook, and you'll see us there. Love to hear from you this morning.
You know, I have to say, maybe what makes it difficult too, Deacon, is that at one level, parents want to teach their children respect for people in authority, teachers and other authority figures, and that. But then, when authority figures, you know, do unusual and offensive things, you know, we have to rework, you know, and be careful about the details. And sadly, today, so often, children have to be schooled to be, you know, to keep. What did you call it? A side eye?
Yeah, I mean,
on teachers and authority yeah, figures right. in their life, you know.
Yeah, really.
It's too often the case today that those who are supposed to be leading the way and showing, you know, a better way end up doing, you know, the opposite. It's a counter sign. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the things we've become so desensitized to this now. Like, I mean, when I was growing up, you'd never hear lewd or foul language on television. You know, or if there was something that it was beeped out. But now, my goodness, you know, it's just normalized. It's just like, again, like these violent video games. Just, yeah, no big deal. At first it was like, oh, we'd never put anything like that on the video game, you know. But now, I mean, it's just almost like anything goes. It's just all this, you know, when you look at how we treat each other, how we see our bodies, how we completely disrespect the human person not made in the image and likeness of God. Just, that's just become normalized now. Yeah. And as parents, we just can't sit back and allow this culture to run roughshod over us.
Yeah.
You know,
we have to
give our kids a spiritual grounding and help them to understand that when they hear and see things like this, that this is really not who we are. Mm-hmm. And the parents have all the right to stand up to this.
You know, I would also add, just to be clear, you know, this material they were asked to read, you know, had the F-bomb and all kinds of stuff in there. And, you know, I will also add, it gets increasingly troubling to me that when I go to, say, to the grocery store and I'm standing in line, mm-hmm. some people are talking on their cell phone, just dropping all kinds of bad language. And I was standing behind a guy on Saturday, and he was African-American gentleman, and he kept saying, end this and end that, whoever he was talking to, you know, dropping or using the N-word. And I kind of, you know, tapping on it, cut that out, man. I finally tapped, oh, I'm sorry, you know. But, I mean, you know.
Good for you.
It's just amazing to me the kind of, like you say, the normalizing that of bad language and you know, lewd behavior and things which goes on in our culture. So
it's, I do have to talk to Lourdes, you know, about she's out. I mean, things that we don't expect. I think I shared on the show how a little boy was telling her he went to a wedding between, you know, two men. And she was like, how can that be? You know, that, and she basically pushed back on him, like, they can't get married. You have to have a woman. You have to have a bride. And so she came home because she's like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And so I had to explain to her, you know, and I've shared this before, I shared again, that in order for, you know, like, yeah, puzzle pieces, in order for the puzzle pieces to fit, they have to be different. Same thing with a marriage. You have to have different puzzle pieces. So that's why you need a man and a woman, so you can fit together as a whole. And she seemed to get that. So you just, sometimes you have to talk to plainly at their level about difficult issues. And I, you know, I hate the fact that sometimes it's because they've encountered something in the world that is challenging or contrary to the truth. And so that's what we have to do as parents. I mean, that's just, wow. But I'd be down at that school with a quickness. Homeboy will wish he'd never, you know. I mean, because, you know, you're talking about he's basically it really defiling your children. He's robbing them of their innocence, you know, and that's not acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable.
Yeah. Well, we got lots of emails today. We heard from Lou, who sent us an email. He said, before the 1960s, the government and the school systems reinforced family values. Since they go against, since then, we've gone against family values. And they are reinforced by the court system. And that's them up. So court system.
Anyway,
that changes, that basically changes, that goes against family values.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true. So for, for favorite songs, Advent songs, Patricia emailed that her favorite Advent song is Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a beautiful song. You know, I had some friends get married, and the husband at the time they were arranging there, he thought, to get everybody quiet, this is what we're going to start, you know, the wedding ceremony with, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent.
There you go. Yeah, so Junior says, I need to release a rap album in Latin.
Yeah, he tweeted that. JR, I think it is. JR tweeted, wow,
well, look at the monks that released that album in chant, and it did well, you know, Marcin. So, hey, you know.
But he's telling you to release yours in Latin. So, all right.
Kevin emailed, my favorite Advent is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, just like Glorious. However, I also like On Jordan's Bank.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. I'm going to have so many songs to go listen to. Judy, listening on Emmanuel Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts, she texted, O Come Divine Messiah is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And even more so in Italian.
My goodness.
That's nice.
Yeah, my goodness. That's a beautiful. O Come Divine Messiah. Da, da, da,
yeah,
da,
that's a great song.
Beautiful, yeah. Mm-hmm. The regarding Bishop Serba, Bill listening to an Annunciation. He says, it is remember your own death, memento mori. Say, Bishop Serba, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, so regarding blunders, Elizabeth emailed, during my 8th grade Christmas play, I threw up on one of the fellow angel choir members. We both stunk, but bonded and became buddies during middle school.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, up tomorrow on Morning Glory, we're going to talk about the 7 blessings from going to Mass.
And we're going to talk about hurting and healing, as well as St. Francis Xavier's Novena.
Hmm. All right. Well, good. As we go forth today, let's go forth with a blessing, and let's remember death. Let's also, you know, remember to get ready for the great second coming of the Lord, and let's ask for God's blessing. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.